What's going on, guys? Welcome to Think Computers, a weekly tech podcast. We're on episode 44, the after Christmas episode, because we usually record on Friday, but Friday was Christmas, so it is Saturday, and we are recording, as always. With me is Derek. What's going on, Derek?
What's up, Bob? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, man.
Merry Christmas to you and everybody else.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. We hope you had a great Christmas. And if you have extra money to spend at Christmas, it would be awesome if you if you went on Amazon through our link, thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. That helps us keep going on this podcast and, you know, just helps out a little bit so we can keep on giving you the latest and greatest in tech. But let's just jump right in. I feel we should jump right in.
I think so.
Yeah, so we had one review this week because it was Christmas week, so very busy with family. I'm sure you were too.
Absolutely.
So we had one review, but it was a really great review in a motherboard that not a lot of people know about. I feel that MSI puts a lot of emphasis on their gaming line. You know, their gaming line has become extremely popular, not only with their graphics cards, but with their motherboards as well. But this is part of their, I believe, Pro Series, and it's the MSI Z170A SLI Plus. And this is a great motherboard, and it's very inexpensive. I think it's $139 right now.
Yeah.
So it's not a whole, you know, you're not putting out a lot of money to get on Skylake as far as the motherboard goes. And this has everything that you're going to want, which I like. And it doesn't have a lot of the extras. Like, you know, the gaming motherboards have, you know, the gaming networking, the, you know, extra
crazy audio,
things that a lot of people don't need. I mean, half the people that I know, they use USB headsets.
Yeah.
You know, so the audio on the board doesn't even really matter.
And
a lot of, like, you know, even with storage connections, like, a lot of these new boards will have SATA Express. I don't know a single person that uses SATA Express.
no.
Most people who are kind of upping the ante when it comes to storage, they're either going to M.2 or the U2 connector. Nobody is using SATA Express. So this board doesn't have SATA Express, which is good. It is just a great motherboard. You know, normal ATX size motherboard. You have full SLI support, as you can guess by the name of the board, the SLI Plus. Full SLI as well as Crossfire support on there.
Is it three-way, two-way?
Two-way.
Two-way.
Which is great. This is, again, a lot of people who are looking at this board aren't going to be going past two graphics cards. I really don't think they would be for this. The two main PCI Express slots are shielded with metal, which is nice. That not only looks great, but it also protects the slot itself from bending or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just a great board. Good BIOS.
What speed do the slots run at?
The top slot will be X16 all the time. If you have two cards installed, it will be, I believe, X8 and X8.
Okay.
I can probably look that up, but I probably should remember that because I just reviewed this. I'll tell you in
Sorry,
a second.
Stumped you.
No, it's see, with these boards, it's usually X16, X8, or
X8. Yeah.
Yeah, hold on, I'll tell you.
I just want to make sure it stayed at least X8, X8.
Yeah, it's X8, X8.
Cool. Which is totally fine. It's plenty of bandwidth.
Yeah, so that's usually how these boards work, is the one slot will always be X16 speeds, but then when you bring in a second card, it will drop down to X8, and the second one is X8. And the third slot on this board is electrical X4, so that will always be X4.
Cool.
So yeah, so it's just a good board. Easily overclockable, was able to get our i7-6700K up to 4.7 gigahertz.
Cool.
Which is kind of the where our test system is kind of stuck at. We can't really haven't been. We were able to get stuff to boot higher than that, but unable to be stable. It just doesn't go past that. It's kind of like our threshold right now.
Yeah.
But good BIOS. They have a command center software, which I wasn't a huge fan of. I actually did a whole video on it.
Yeah.
If you want to check that out, and you can see why I didn't like it. It's just not put together like some of the other ones are. But it's just a good overall board, and you're not putting out a lot of money. It does have dedicated audio. While it's not amazing compared to some of the gaming boards, it is dedicated audio. So, you know, 7.1 channel audio. You're pretty much good on all facets of just the basics that you would want in a motherboard. It does have USB 3.1 as well. That's a nice little add-on, and it does have a M.2 slot, PCI Express 3.0 X4 slot. So it's the highest bandwidth M.2. So you're pretty much covered. And the USB 3.1 and the M.2, I would say, are a little bit extras too. You know, two USB 3.0 headers on the board itself, which is nice too. So you know, you're covered with this board, and it's not expensive. And
no, I see this as just like it's a good solid color scheme, right? It's really neutral, and it's got everything you could possibly need. It won't cripple you anywhere. It's got, but it's got nothing like over the top. This is just like a great all arounder.
Yeah, it's a great all around board. Matte black PCB, and then all matte black on the heat sinks and everything like that. So it's just. Yeah. You know, it's just a good board. Sometimes it's hard to get excited about boards like this, just, you know, because everybody wants the gaming boards with all the lights and all this kind of stuff. But for a lot of people, you know, they're building within a budget, and this is a great all-around board. I didn't really have any problems with it. Besides, there's one issue on the board itself, is that two of the SATA ports are facing straight up, which is odd to me.
I thought we were past that completely.
Yeah, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, they could be blocked, possibly, you know, when you install a graphics card. That was the one weird thing, and then I just didn't like the Control Center software. Really, that was the other issue. Yeah. But
a lot of people don't even use that stuff anyways.
Yeah, this is just a good board for the price, I would say.
I know exactly what you mean by, like, because it's, I do the same thing when I'm looking at a board for myself. You want the flashy board, but, like, truthfully, you don't really need more than this.
Yeah.
Most of us don't need more than this.
Most of us, yeah. Unless you're doing crazy, you know, three-way, four-way SLI.
Yeah.
You want the gaming networking. You want the gaming audio, which a lot of people don't even really make use of. You know, people buy these gaming boards and
you know, a headset on.
Yeah, use a USB headset, which doesn't even use that, you know. So there's, you know, some things, but it's just a good board for the price, I would say. Definitely one I would recommend. Nice. You know, if somebody was looking in this price range, this is definitely one I would recommend, for sure. So, you know, great board by MSI.
Cool. Yeah, it's good to see that, like, MSI's board just doing good, you know, because they struggled. They had a couple of hard years.
Yeah.
Where they're having a lot of issues with their boards, and you really couldn't recommend them. So it's good to see them back on track.
Yeah, for sure. This is such, from like, I would say like 2 or 3 years ago, this is a big change. Because I remember reviewing some of their other boards, and they didn't compare, you know, to some of the other ones, like to say like a Gigabyte or an Asus. They didn't really compare. And now everybody's really close. Those are the top three. You know, those are really close, and it's good to see them, you know, just through their whole lineup of quality boards, which I like. So,
yep,
for sure. So that was our only review this week. Yep. But we have two pretty cool articles. The first one is your article, where we continued our Water Cooling 101 series. This is part 3 in the series. And this is basically where you went over everything that's going to go in our system, not only hardware-wise, but all of the water cooling gear that we did receive and how it's going to go together and all of that. So I'll let you kind of take it away with that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially this is just going over the gear that we were able to pick out and source for this build. So I don't know if you want me to go in-depth on it, Bob.
I mean, we don't have to go super in-depth, but...
okay. Like for the case, we got an awesome case, which is the N2 Evolve ATX, which I reviewed a few weeks ago, and we talked about that on the podcast. So it's an absolutely awesome case for water cooling, so we got that. And then we got a ton of Alpha Cool parts, which is just absolutely awesome. I'm a huge fan of Alpha Cool. I wouldn't say I'm quite fanboy status, but they make some of the best water cooling parts that you can find. So that was awesome to be able to get those parts. Really top performing CPU block. We got the Nexus XP3 light version, which is acetyl, which is really sweet. In Strens Roundup, it was one of the best performing blocks. So I can't wait to see how that's going to do. One thing that we got that was interesting to me, which I wouldn't necessarily have picked, but AlphaCool doesn't offer like a true full cover block, but they do offer is a GPU block it's like a hybrid block. It's got the heatsink fins built into it, but then it's got a universal GPU block mounted in the middle of it. So it's kind of like if you were going to do a universal GPU block, it's got all the heatsinks already attached, sort of. But it looks way better. It's a single package still, just like a standard full cover block. And the nice thing about it is it's a lot cheaper than a full cover block that you'd get from, say, like EK or someone else. But it also comes with a backplate and everything else you could think of, so that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. I'm looking at it right now. That is a nice looking block. I like the AlphaCool logo on the back plate too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's just it's cool to see all the stuff come together. This is a project that we were working on since probably like beginning of summer when we first came up with the idea. I guess
I honestly would. Yeah, it might even be close to a year.
Yes.
that we've been talking about this.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this kind of, you know, doing a whole water cooling series, kind of because I feel a lot of the guides that are out there are sort of dated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to do something that if you're, you know, thinking about water cooling, even thinking just water cooling your CPU, that you have a resource where you can go and not only where you can learn how to do it, but where you can be educated about what the parts are and what they do. And that's kind of what this series is all yeah. about. And it's just, it's so awesome to see it finally coming together for us. You know, and big thanks to Aqua Tuning who hooked us up with,
I would say for sure.
90% of the parts.
Yeah, they really came through for us on this
Yeah. one. So there's a, you know, we really appreciate all of their support on this. And, so what the,
we got that. Aqua Tuning, and then we had Asus helped us out as well, right? With this,
yeah, Asus helped us out with the graphics card. Yeah. Everything else we pretty much got ourselves. And then Fantex for the case.
And Thermaltake, yeah.
Yeah, Thermaltake gave us some tubing. So we're, you know, it's all come together. And this is basically the article before we really get started in the build, which is nice. So you get to see everything that we use.
Yeah, we just definitely wanted to really highlight everything that we, you know, we talked about how to pick parts, and then I wanted to follow that up and show, you know, what we actually picked.
Yeah, so up next is, what is up next for this?
Up next it'll be prepping your parts. I forget what we titled it, but it'll be, so you've got your parts, what do you do with them next?
So that would be what, like, it isn't going to be an install, is it?
No, it won't be an install yet. That would be the next one after that.
Okay.
Because there's certain when you get like your radiators and stuff, you have to flush everything and
This is all things that I don't know. So that's what I mean. That's why this article series is so great, because even reading some of the stuff, I forget which article it was. I think it's the second one where you talked about the different parts and what's good to look for. I had no clue about a lot of those things. Again, so if you are new to water cooling or even just want to learn about it, this article series is going to be really great. And we have a whole section on the site. On the top menu bar, it says Water Cooling 101, and it has all the articles listed there. So you can go and you can kind of go through this whole process with us, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've done this for years, and it's actually really, really fun for me to actually go through and, like, put all my knowledge together in one spot, so...
Pretty excited to see how the build comes out when we get there. So definitely pumped for that. So definitely check it out. Yep. Again, big thing on the menu that says Water Cooling 101. So definitely check out all of the articles in the series. Yep. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which, if you don't know, is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or case build each week. And we do it on Friday. So I did post it yesterday, even though it was Christmas.
Yeah.
This one is called Frozen Gray, and I love this build. This build is by Twister, who I think we featured a few of his builds on here.
Did we?
Yeah, I believe we did.
Okay.
And this is done in the Corsair 780T case, but it's really cool because he's made all the side panels clear. And even the back panel. So it kind of looks like the motherboard is floating inside the case. Which,
is that what it is? I was just staring at it like, is it white or is it clear?
I believe it's clear.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And the color design is something you don't typically see. It is purple, like a lighter purple with gray mixed in, which I think is not a lot of people do.
This is stunning, honestly.
Yeah, it's such a good build. Just the amount of, like, I would say finesse on this build and finish.
Yeah, this is one where it's a 10 out of 10 finish.
Like, yeah,
you can have awesome parts, you can have an awesome design, and all those things can make a really cool water cooling build, or just build in general. It doesn't have to be water cooled, but like there's another level where you step up your finish, and where everything, this is like 100% professional. Like, this is better than what you could buy from, like, Digital Storm or someone.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing.
I love the mid plate, the little half mid plate. I've never seen one like that, and it's also got the channeling in it.
That's what I was going to say. Not enough people do the channeling on that. That's just something that I think is really cool. And it's, I think that it's something that really, you know, because a lot of water cooling, especially this, is like he uses chrome tubing, so you're not going to see the coolant. And this gives, you know, builders another way to show off the coolant and everything. And that was custom made by this builder.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool because, like, you can still do, like the chrome tubing looks awesome, right? And so does a lot of the other colored tubing, but then you give up being able to show off the coolant.
Yeah.
And like you said, this is a way to do that.
And he made a custom reservoir that actually sits on the motherboard side panel, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a good, like, if you want to look at perfection, I would say this is one of them.
Absolutely.
You know, everything is very well done. It just looks great. He made custom covers for the CPU block and for the pumps. They all have this logo on them. I don't know.
Yeah, is that his? It's probably his logo.
Yeah, it's probably his logo he put on them. It's just really well done. It just makes you, you know, wish you were good at these things, because I'm not.
I really think I need to try the channeling.
Yeah, that's something you can do. I mean, if you're good working with acrylic, or you have access to a laser, I would be like, that's a laser cutter that would do that.
Probably, yeah.
You know, you could do something like that, but it's really cool. Definitely check out this build, and definitely check out all the builds in Case Mod Friday. We've been featuring builds for, I would say, over a year, right?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Longer than that.
Yeah, longer than that. So we have a lot of builds in here.
2-3 years, probably.
Yeah, so a lot of
Not consistently, but the past year, solidly.
Every Friday. So definitely check that out, and there's just a lot of great builds. I love like going out and trying to find these builds, because you see so much amazing things that people are working on. Definitely check that out. And we'll move on to news. Not a whole lot of news this week. Again, it is the week of Christmas, or it was the week of Christmas, I would say.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot of news.
Not a lot of people working.
Not a lot of people working either. And when you're trying to get stuff done, which we've been doing, it's kind of hard. But So the first thing from AMD, it looks like their dual Fiji chip, which has been codenamed either the Fury X2 or Gemini, it looks like it's going to be delayed. So we had heard a couple months ago that it would be launching now in December, but it looks like it's not going to be.
Sucks. That would be cool to see at CES.
Now, see, there's a couple things that there's a couple, you know, definitely be cool. They still might be at CES.
That's true.
But retail availability won't be for a while. It looks like it's going to be Q2 2016, which will be in April, between April and June time frame, for this card. And AMD is saying that they want to make it they want to launch it when market availability for virtual reality headsets is, you know, there's a lot out there in the market, which there isn't right now. So that's what they're saying. Another thing that a lot of people are saying is that AMD has gone back and they're using a different cooling solution that isn't built by Cooler Master, because Cooler Master is in a big legal battle with Asetek.
That would be smart of them, because why risk it, right?
Yeah, especially for a card like this.
Because they were already calling for, Asetek was calling for the Fury X to be pulled off the shelf, right?
Yeah, and we would assume that it would use a dual cooler solution, dual pump. Yeah.
That'd be really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Which we will.
Yeah.
But it's too bad it's going to be later. You think it could be an HBM issue, too?
It could be, but, I mean, there's enough HBM out there now.
Okay.
I think it's either, I mean, they could be just waiting for VR, because this card is designed to power VR.
Yeah, it's powerful enough for a single card solution.
Yeah, or, again, the thing with Cooler Master does make a whole lot of sense. You know, because these cards could have been done already. I know engineering samples went out to some people, you know.
Oh, really? For reviewing?
Not for reviewing, but for testing and things like
that.
Okay. So there are some out there. It's just, you know, we're not sure. But I would say...
They're just being cautious, because they've had some bad luck lately.
Yeah, it could be a combination of both things, especially the Asetek thing, because you don't want to take out a product and then, you know,
immediately recall it.
Yeah, have a recall put on there. So we'll have to see. So it doesn't look like, you know, we might see these at CES, you know, but it's more than likely that we'll see these a lot later in the year, getting closer into Computex time. So
yeah, more likely.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Talking about people suing people.
Yeah, no kidding.
NVIDIA is looking, they could possibly face a sales ban on some of their products. So this, they had a patent dispute with Samsung, which started about a year ago, where NVIDIA said that Samsung was infringing on some of their patents in their mobile, mostly mobile stuff. A lot of their mobile GPU type things.
Yeah.
So it came back that NVIDIA, or that Samsung was not infringing on these patents. And then Samsung countersued them over three patents that apparently these three patents have just been sitting on the shelf. And it looks like the International Trade Commission said that NVIDIA is violating three of these patents.
Huh.
So they're
all on the shelf. They're not really active. They're about to expire, right?
Yeah, so one of them will expire in 2016. I think it's later in the year in 2016 when it will expire.
Okay.
But the decision that was made is up for review, and if it's upheld, NVIDIA could face a sales ban on products with these patents. It's all mobile stuff, I believe.
Okay.
So anything with like a Tegra, you know, a lot of tablets and things like that.
Yeah,
so with
Tegra, it could be pretty wide far-reaching.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see how this will go. As we said, one of the patents will be up in 2016, which means like, you know, they could have a sales ban for a couple months and then it would expire.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but it's kind of funny that NVIDIA went to sue Samsung, didn't win. You know,
yeah.
and then
Samsung's like, oh yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Samsung sued them back, and they so far they've won the decision. So that's they're like, oh, you want to cause us this legal trouble? Well, we're gonna screw you.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's
pick your battles, right?
Yes, it's quite interesting to see how this will all go. You know, obviously we'll keep you guys updated to see what happens, but this could be a big deal for NVIDIA, especially on the mobile sector, which they've been kind of pumping up. You know, the Tegra is very mm-hmm. powerful, especially for tablets and things like that. So,
yeah,
definitely be
interesting
to see
very
that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also talking about Samsung, it looks like AMD will be choosing Samsung as its foundry partner for the Zen CPUs as well as the Arctic Islands GPUs. So Samsung, I forget, it was like 2 years ago, they started to be a foundry partner. They started a foundry business, so they create or build processors, GPUs, things like that for a bunch of different companies.
Right.
Yeah. And they're competing against GlobalFoundries as well as TSMC. And this is a pretty big deal because AMD does put out a lot of products.
Mm-hmm.
And the GPUs as well as the Zen CPUs will be built on the 16-nanometer process. 14 nanometer process. So yeah, that's a big win for Samsung, to get
it's
that.
It's good for AMD too.
Yeah. Good for AMD to get the, good for Samsung to get the contract to do that. Cause that's a lot of, processors that can be churned out, especially if Zen really picks up and becomes very popular, which a lot of people are expecting it to do.
So. Now it might just be the order we're reading the news in right now, but do you think this was contract was closed as a result of NVIDIA and Samsung kind of duking it out, or
I don't know,
kind of a little slap back in the face?
Yeah, because I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow, you know. But I mean, NVIDIA has always gone with TSMC
mm-hmm.
for the most part, so them, you know, the only way they would really change their foundry partner would be if there was massive delays or something like that.
Well, there has been issues, right?
There has been issues with both GlobalFoundries and TSMC.
Yeah.
You know, Apple and Qualcomm both use Samsung as a foundry partner for
right.
their products. So, you know, the thing is, these, you know, the foundry partners, they fight for these contracts because they are big contracts. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. This is what keeps them in business.
Yeah. So, you know, Samsung getting AMD could be a slap in the face to NVIDIA, because maybe NVIDIA was looking to spread you know, their foundries out. A lot of companies do that. They'll have some of it create, you know, Samsung will instead get, of all will your get part, yeah. Samsung will get part of the contract as well as TSMC or Global Foundries or all, however, but it looks like AMD is strictly going to go with Samsung as far as we know. So, it's interesting, and a lot of people don't really think of the foundry news is that exciting, but you know, this is who makes the GPUs, this is who makes the CPUs.
It might have been designed and has the NVIDIA or AMD logo on it, but this is who actually makes it.
Yeah, and these are massive companies. The plants and the places, you know, they're just huge. It's interesting to see how these will go. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's definitely exciting. So, for sure. Now we'll move on to motherboards, and I have to say, this might be one of my favorite motherboards so far as a Z170 board.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to definitely point out is that Asus could always just come out with a motherboard, right?
Yeah.
They could always just come out with these when Skylake launched.
Yeah.
Could have easily done it, made it just like a lot of companies who release all of their boards when Skylake comes out. Or, you know, when the new processor comes out, they have all their boards ready, good to go.
Just launch everything all at once.
Yeah, but Asus, over the past few years, has always done this where a lot of their higher-end boards or their really great boards come out later, and you kind of have to wait for them.
Yeah.
But if you wait, you get something really great, and I think that this board is definitely has a lot of great things in it. So before I completely go into it, it is the Maximus 8 Formula, which is not out yet. Which I believe this is a leak, and it should be announced at CES in a couple weeks or in a week.
Okay.
But this is the Maximus 8 Formula, which is part of the Republic of Gamers line, and this board is just awesome.
It's gorgeous.
Great board. If you know anything about the Maximus Formula boards, you know what they look like. One thing that Asus hasn't done, so we saw it with their Maximus Extreme, is that they changed their color design because everybody copied the red and black. So they used a darker orange and black for that, the Maximus Extreme.
Yeah.
But with this, instead of doing that, they went with LEDs, RGB LEDs on the thermal armor.
Yeah.
And on their the heat sinks and stuff.
Yeah, the IO cover.
Yeah, on all of that. So what that enables them to do is make it – it's RGB LED, so you can make it any color that you want. So they don't have –
It's quite extensive too if you look at the render.
Yeah, it's very –
It really is all over the board.
Yeah, it's all over the board. So this not only allows Asus to not have people copy them as far as color design, it also allows you as a builder to not have to worry about getting certain parts that are going to match your build, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to do a blue build, you can get this board and do a blue build. If you want to do a red build, you can get this board and do a red build. If you want to do a yellow build, you can get, you know.
Yeah, it also lets you change your build up.
Yeah.
You know, well, I want to change my color scheme. I want to repaint everything. No need to replace all your hardware.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool, and that's kind of the big – that's the one big selling point of this motherboard. It also has hybrid cooling on the power delivery components, and that's actually done by EK. And I believe this is the first time EK has partnered to do a motherboard, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been built onto it. Maybe they're working with them in the background.
Yeah,
but never. It's got an EK symbol on it.
Yeah, so that is pretty cool. So the hybrid liquid cooling is done by EK, which is really nice. This board also has the new Supreme FX audio solution, which is very high-end audio solution, built onto the motherboard itself. We don't have all of the information on this board just because this is a leak, but it will have USB 3.1 as well. I can see 6 USB 3.0 ports on the back of the board. It does have Wi-Fi built in, which we believe it has to be AC on the back of there. All of the great gaming features you would expect from Asus as well. So this is
I would expect the hardware specs are pretty close to the Maximus 8 that's out right now.
Yeah, very, very close. I just like the RGB. It adds a completely new element to this board because, again, you can pretty much choose the color that you want.
This is a very sophisticated looking board.
Yeah, so
I like it a lot.
I would expect this to be around 380. $380, $375, yeah, something like
close,
that.
Yeah, when it close comes to out. 400. Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get a look at it at CES. You know, and we'll definitely, as we get into CES, and they'll probably release a press release, we'll definitely tell you more about this board. If you haven't upgraded to Skylake and you're still looking to do it, definitely hold off for this board because it is one really nice looking board.
Yeah, I would say that board probably tops the G1 Gaming. Maybe not. The G1 Gaming will do 4-way SLI.
Yeah, and the G1 Gaming has, like, the most maxed out everything.
Yeah, but looks, as far as looks are concerned, I actually think this is a better looking board.
I just
especially
like
with the RGB.
Yeah, well, I like it because you can change the colors.
Yeah.
You know, with the G1 Gaming, you're stuck with the red and white, which looks amazing. I think it's one of the best looking boards out there.
Mm-hmm.
But agreed. This you can change the colors, so if you're not feeling the red and white, you can change it. You know what I mean? If you're
Yeah, and the thermal armor is, like, it's some of the best looking. I've not always been a fan of the thermal armor, of just covering everything up, but it's so intricate and the design is so good. I actually think it looks better now.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to upgrade. That's all I'm trying
always,
to say.
Whenever you see new gear, you always want to upgrade.
You do. Yeah. And the EK block, I mean, that's a selling point in and of itself. I know that the G1 has... It has the, you know, full, the same thing, but it's not EK.
Yeah, EK is pretty much the top of the line when it comes to water cooling a lot of the times. And, you know, people see that, and that's another selling point of the board, because EK products, their marketing is so good. Everybody wants to use EK if they can, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's great. It's one smart board right here.
Yeah, very, very good board. Very excited to see it in person. Hopefully we'll be able to see it at CES.
Yeah, I was gonna say, hopefully we'll have our own coverage of it.
Yes. So another product that was leaked this week before CES was Thermaltake's Tough Power DPSG RGB power supply.
Cool. That's really cool.
So this is going to be their latest power supply. Thermaltake's makes really great power supplies. And this is their new one. It is the Tough Power DPSG RGB. And as you can guess, the RGB means that the fan inside is one of their RGB fans, much like the ones that we reviewed. But what's cool about this one is that, obviously, this is an all-digital power supply, so you connect it to your computer with a USB cable, and that's how you control the LEDs on the fan. So you can make it any color that you want, obviously. But that's a pretty cool selling point, but I don't think it's the best selling point of this. This is 80 plus titanium certified, which is the highest rating.
Sick power supply.
Yeah, so it's 94% efficient at 50% load and 90% efficient at 100% load.
Oh my gosh.
So extremely efficient power supply, all digital, as I said, 100% modular, which is great. We only know of a 1250 watt. That's the one that was leaked. I don't know if there's going to be other ones. We would expect in the future, but if they're just launching one at CES, it might only be the 1250.
Yeah.
Because it's digital power supply, it works with their DPS G app, which we're actually going to do a whole video on when we get back from CES. Because I got a couple power supplies from them, they want to do a whole video. But
nice. The
DPSG app allows you to monitor real-time statistics, so you can check out efficiency, wattage, voltage, temperatures, fan speeds. You can also adjust the fan speed. You can, you know, do certain things.
And yeah.
You can record over time. You can do a lot of cool stuff with this app. So this power supply plugs into that app and allows you to do that. And then what's really great about this power supply is it comes with a 10-year warranty. That's kind of unheard of. We've seen 5 and 7 are kind of the high, but I don't think I've ever seen a 10-year warranty on a power supply.
Dude, on a power supply? No, that's crazy.
Yeah, so 10-year power supply or 10-year warranty on the units. It was listed on Amazon for $379.99. Not sure. I don't know if it's still there.
It's pricey, but it's the only power supply you're going to buy for the next 10
it's
years.
It's still listed on Amazon, even though it's not officially released yet. So.
Yeah. Huh.
So yeah,
that's good. I feel like we're selling this power supply right now because the features are so amazing.
Yeah, I mean not only to have those features, but then to back it with 10-year.
Yeah, you know, you can have all the features in the world, right? And it all sounds great, and then you can probably convince everybody to take the gamble on your product. But you go and throw a 10-year warranty on it, and it's like, well, so what if it fails?
Yeah, right.
I'll get a new one, you know.
Yeah, so that's really great. This is probably going to be one of the cooler things that, and we're definitely going to see this at CES. You know, this is going to be launched there for sure. So yeah, we'll definitely see this in person and get a good look at it and see, you know, what it looks like and all of that. And it should be some really cool stuff from Thermal Take. Also, a lot of cool stuff being announced at CES. That's why we don't have a whole lot of news, because everybody's waiting. So a lot of the stuff we're going to see next week as well is going to be leaks. Of the stuff that's going to be launched at CES, and then the week of CES, we'll obviously have our full coverage of everything. So,
you know, my only complaint looking at these pictures, the sticker on the side of it is really gaudy.
Yeah, I don't like the sticker.
They should probably change that up. Yeah, but otherwise,
these are renders too, so they might be changed.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, those are really good. Those are really high quality renders.
Well, they. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're renders. I'm not sure. Even if they're not renders, that sticker does suck.
Yeah.
Thermal Take, fix the sticker.
Yeah, please. Because, like, there's a number of companies that make really good-looking power supplies, which is actually something to consider, because a lot of times you can see them, right? Mm-hmm. So you want it to look good, especially if you're getting one with a fan. You got to assume you're going to be able to see it with a ring fan, right? Yeah. So, you know, like, I was thinking that the design of this, with the way the grill and everything is cut, it looks really, really good. But with that sticker, I mean, you just kill it.
Yes.
So yeah, Thermal Take. Pay attention.
It doesn't look horrible, I would say.
No, but it's just tacky looking.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Yeah. But definitely we'll see it in person and we'll tell Thermal Take that their sticker sucks. How about that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll be able to do the interview and be like, hey, so why'd you put a crappy sticker on there?
Yeah, by the way, I know we're not talking about that, but
yeah. But yeah, definitely a cool power supply, definitely something to look forward to. To see at CES for sure. For and sure. Hopefully we'll have more leaks by next week too.
Yeah.
So we can talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have a bunch of leaks next week.
New Year's Day podcast.
Yes, New Year's Day podcast. It'll be fun. Yeah. So our last little bit of news is that FutureMark released 3D Mark 2016 beta.
Yeah.
So it's a beta version of 3D Mark, and what's interesting about it is that it comes with their VR Mark preview, which is a preview of their VR Mark benchmark, which is a virtual reality benchmark. So you need a virtual reality headset to run it. I believe you need a, I would assume you would.
Or also to run it in this little 2-eye screen here that we've got.
Yeah, I believe you have to have it. But the VR benchmark is basically it's like their Firestrike benchmark in a VR setting. So I almost 100% positive that you will to run it. You will need
VR headset.
Yeah, you will need a VR headset.
It almost looks like from that picture, maybe just different camera angles and. Just about, I don't know, some floating camera angles added to the VR version. Is that?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's got to be the same exact benchmark running, right? They're just displaying different camera angles, maybe.
Yeah, and it's obviously being displayed on a VR
device,
which takes a lot more horsepower than a normal screen.
But as far as the actual effects being rendered, it looks the same to me.
Yeah, it could. I can't tell you because obviously we don't have a VR headset here, and I haven't even downloaded this to even test it because I've just been so busy because it's Christmas, but yeah, it's cool because a lot of people who have VR, you know, they don't have a lot of stuff to benchmark. The only thing that sucks about this is that you don't get a score at the end or anything like that. It's just a preview.
No?
It's just to show you what it's about, so you don't really get a score or anything like that. But this is the beta of 3D Mark 2016, so a lot of things are changed around. They kind of changed the menu system around and made it a lot more easier to kind of go through and things like that.
Yeah.
So if you want to check that out as well, you can run all the other benchmarks that are already on there, like Firestrike, Firestrike Extreme, Skydiver. You can do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just in a more streamlined layout and everything. So if you want to check it out, I believe you can just download it through Steam. If you've purchased it through Steam, you can download it through Steam, I believe, and you can go ahead and check it out. So
yeah.
If you want to do some benchmarking over the holiday break, you can definitely do it.
Yeah, if you're not already.
Yes. So we'll move on to what we have coming up next week, and I have a lot of stuff that I want to get done this week that we will be doing next week. So the first thing is the Sith Ninja 4 CPU cooler, and this is a very large CPU cooler. This is one of the bigger ones. And I'm really excited to test this, and I'm actually changing our benchmarking system around for these.
The test rig?
Yeah, test rig is going to be changed. So I'm in the process of doing that today, actually. That's one of my things I have to get done today. So I will be doing that today and getting this all up and running to test this to see how this goes. So I'm pretty excited for that and to get that all set up with a brand new case, too.
Oh, nice. What are you moving to? Or do you want to hold, save?
Hold off on telling us. We'll hold off and we'll let everybody see.
Right, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, well, we can definitely talk about it next week.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's, and we have the Elgato Game Capture HD60, which is a game capture device primarily used for what's it called? Primarily used for consoles, right?
Console.
So because it's kind of hard to capture that and everything. But I've actually been using it with the Alienware Steam Machine because that's very hard to capture on as well. And I also used it to, on the MSI review of the
motherboard. I was going to ask you, I didn't know if you want to talk about it, though.
Yeah, on the MSI review of the motherboard, the BIOS overview video I used this device to record on. Because typically I set up my camera straight on my monitor, and the quality is not as great. But this is really good because it records at 1080p, 60 frames a second. So if you have a lot of action going on the screen, it's going to record all of that.
Yeah.
It works really well. The software that it comes with is really, really great. What's really great about the software is that it gives you the ability to have commentary. So whatever you're recording on, say like I was recording on my laptop, I was able to connect a microphone to the laptop and do commentary over what I'm doing on the other device, which is
cool. Oh, really? Like live commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So you can do all of that. It's a really cool device. Definitely, if I was a gamer who has a device that's hard to record off of, Xbox, you know, stuff like that. And this works. This works with open source broadcaster too. So if you're, say you're playing PlayStation 4, even playing older consoles, you know, where you wanna stream, but you want a camera. Mm-hmm. This plugs into OBS, so you can have this be a source, you can have your camera be a source, you know, and you can have that stream up there pretty easily.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, it's a really cool device. Definitely one of the cooler devices I've checked out lately.
Awesome.
And we'll be taking a look at the Cooler Master V750. I have a 700 listed, but it is the V750, okay. Which is their 750-watt power supply. Really great power supply. Really compact power supply, too, so it's going to fit in a lot of builds. This is 80-plus gold certified, all modular. Really nice-looking power supply, so definitely, you know, definitely excited to get this in. This is part of the new build, too, is that we'll be using that same build to do our power supply testing.
Nice.
So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And might have some other stuff next week. This is the last week that we will be in town before CES, or we'll be at home.
Yeah.
Because I leave on the 2nd and you leave on the 3rd to go to Vegas for CES. So we're going to try to get a lot of stuff done before that time. So,
yeah, for sure.
So there might be more stuff.
And full more articles.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait, what?
So our end of the year articles.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we'll have end of year articles coming up too next week for Case Mod Friday. Instead of our typical Case Mod Friday, we'll be doing our best case mods of 2015, which will feature our, I would say, I haven't decided if I'm doing 3 or 5 of the best mods throughout the year. And these are ones that we feature. So if you read it and you saw a build this year that came out, if we didn't feature it, it's not going to be in the best case mod. So it's based on the ones that we featured.
Yeah.
But it will give you a good idea of some of the best mods that are out there in 2015 that we featured. So that is also coming next week. So it's just a lot of stuff. It's a real busy time. Right before CES, we're trying to get a ton of stuff done before that. And obviously, we have a lot of stuff going on getting ready to go to CES as well. So...
Definitely, for sure.
So, how was your Christmas?
It was good. It's nice, chill.
Did you get any computer things?
I got a mouse and a can of duster.
What kind of mouse did you get?
It's just a travel mouse.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. And I think that's it. Pretty much my computer stuff I get for myself.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot that anybody can get for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
Same way. I don't really get any computer things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff we review, I keep for the most part. Or, you know, like, if I need something, I can ask a company for it.
Yeah.
I did see Star Wars this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's it.
I mean, there's just things that didn't make sense.
Yeah, there's a handful of problems with it.
Yeah, but it was great to see it. That feeling you get when you watch a Star Wars movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's something.
The first time when it comes on, like, I got the chills.
Like. Yeah, it's just like, it's so good to see, because that's such, you know, at least for me, like, I grew up watching Star Wars, and, you know, to have that again, you know, is...
Yeah, like this, far later into life, like,
yeah,
the same feeling all over again.
Yeah, so it was really great. I don't think I did anything else this week.
No?
My dad and I smoked a prime rib for Christmas dinner, which was amazing.
Yeah, he smoked it, so...
Yeah, we have a Weber smoker, and that's what we usually do on holidays, like him and I will smoke... we smoke our turkey on Thanksgiving, Christmas. Yeah. We decided to do prime rib, which was a great choice.
Yeah.
Perfectly cooked. I posted a picture on my Instagram if anybody follows me on there.
Yeah. Bob posts a lot of pictures of food if you follow him.
Yeah. So definitely, I posted pictures of that. It was really great. Good to be around family, obviously, in this time of year and all of that. And it was good that I did take more or less took 2 days off.
It's good.
Of the computers, because that was I kind of needed it. I kind of got into like a writer's block last week, so I took Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. You know, not completely off, but more than usual, I would say.
Yeah. This is just it's been crazy busy, and it's about to get even busier. So I think that's a smart decision.
Yeah. So
hope you guys can forgive Bob.
I think
and me, I guess I didn't do anything either.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, we'll have a lot of stuff next week. I have a lot of products here still to review, so definitely stay tuned for all of that stuff coming up. And I guess that's it for this week. Definitely hope everybody had a great holiday, and definitely Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody who's listening. And as always, we will have a full page of show notes, everything that we talked about. You can go ahead and check out. And we're all, like, as I always say, we're always on iTunes, Think Computers, all one word, and pretty much every other service out there we are on as well. So you just type in Think Computers Podcast into Google and you'll find everything pretty easily. So until next week, catch everybody later.